Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, I'm going to start my message a little bit differently to how I normally would today. I'm just want to lay a bit of a foundation before I get into the heart of what I wanted to share. And I want to speak to you, like I said, about navigating the seasons. And if you go to the book of Ephesians, Paul writes to the people in Ephesus about navigating the seasons. And he says this in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Now, I want to unpack this scripture with you today right from the outset because this is going to form the foundation of what we get into. Now, whenever you see in scripture the word walk, you know, we read scriptures like walk by faith, not by sight. It's the same here. See that you walk circumspectly. When they use that word walk, it's not physically talking about walking, but it's talking about how we conduct our lives. And Paul is saying here that we need to conduct our lives in a circumspectful way. Tough word. But that simply means to live with careful consideration of the consequences of how we conduct our lives. And then he says, so that you wouldn't be foolish, but you would be wise. I want to be wise today. Do you want to be wise? And then he talks about redeeming the time. And so often when I've read this scripture, I've read that phrase, redeeming the time, and it's almost like it's making up for time that's been lost or making up for something that has been missed or been overlooked. But it's not. That's not actually the intention of that phrase, because the original word used for time in this phrase is the Greek word kairos, which refers not only to time, but it's to referring to taking the opportunity that the time or the season that you are in presents to you. It's taking the opportunity. It has built into it this meaning that every season presents a favorable moment, a suitable time, a right thing. Redeeming the time or the season doesn't refer to making up for lost time. Instead, it is referring to making the most of the time or making the most of the season you are in. And he doesn't say making the most, redeeming the good times. He just says redeeming the time because, you see, there is a favorable opportunity in every season that you are in. In fact, if I was to paraphrase what Paul said about seasons, I'd put it like this. He'd say, we are to conduct our lives with careful consideration so that we would not live foolishly, but rather be wise by taking the opportunities that every season presents to us. Every season in life presents us with an opportunity. Every season is favorable for something God ordained to happen in your life, in your best seasons, and even in the worst seasons of your life. There is a God-ordained opportunity that you can take hold of. Even in the middle of your divorce or your unemployment, when your child is going off the rails, when that addiction has got you, when you're living on the edge of your finances, when that diagnosis is not looking good, there's tension in your relationship, that contract fell through, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how great it looks, every season presents an opportunity for something God ordained to happen in your life. And so if you go through life living unaware of the season that God is bringing you into, it's a bit like getting up in the morning on a Saturday, getting ready to hit the beach, and so you put on your bathers and your sunscreen, you grab your towel and your sunnies, and you head out the door to find that you're in the middle of August on a wet, windy winter's day. Now, no matter how prepared you are for summer, if it is winter, it serves no purpose. If you were a farmer, it would be like trying to harvest in the planting season or plowing up the ground when it's harvest time. It's going to be unfruitful. So it's important that we need to understand and discern the season that we are in.
Is this making sense to you today?
In Luke 12, Jesus identifies the issue we all face when it comes to discerning the seasons. He says this. He said this to the multitudes. Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And so it is. And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern the time? Jesus is rebuking these people because they're so set in their ways. They're so set in their culture. They're so set in their religious tradition that they missed what was right in front of them. They missed that they had the Messiah that they had been reading about, that they had been praying about all of their lives. That person was right in front of them, and yet they failed to discern that. They could discern the natural things with precision and accuracy. They could tell by the way the clouds moved through the sky that rain was coming, but they missed the spiritual shift right in front of them. They missed the fact that God was doing something new. They missed the fact that this Israelite nation that had lived for 400 years hearing nothing from God suddenly had the Messiah standing right in front of them, and they missed it because they didn't discern the season. And so often this happens to us when we get so focused on the natural things around us than what God is doing. We get caught up, don't we? In dealing with all the challenges of life, we get caught up with our worries and our schedules and our need to have the best of everything, or trying to do everything that everybody's expecting us to do. We get caught up with what other people think we should be doing and where we should be headed. And we get caught up working towards some kind of worldly measure of success. And we have our eyes so fixed on those things that we overlook the seasons that God is bringing us through. And you know what? I've been there. I've been in situations in life and my leadership where I've gone ahead with things or I've not stepped out into new things because of what someone said or what they didn't say, or because of my desire to win someone's approval or my insecurities. And I've missed the season. And I've ended up standing out there in the winter rain in my bathers and my sunnies. A square peg in a round hole. Doing the wrong thing in the right season. I've ended up plowing up the harvest because I was totally unaware of the season that God had called me to step into. We want to be a people who know the seasons. We want to be a people who are leaning into the voice of God, who are leaning into His leading, who are open to His direction, that we can walk and live circumspectly, that we can live with careful consideration of the season that we are in and take hold of every God-ordained opportunity that those seasons present us. That's the kind of people that we want to be. And so today I want to take you to an account in Scripture. We're going to look at how a man called Daniel navigated a new season in his life. And we're going to pick this up from Daniel chapter 9. And it says here, in the first year of Darius, the son of of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God, and I made confession. So let's get some context around this scripture. Daniel is a man who lived during a very tumultuous time in Israel's history. As the Babylonian Empire was rising to power and had its sights set on dominating the world, well, the known world at that time. And during Daniel's lifetime, Babylon attacked the nation of Israel where Daniel grew up, and they attacked it three times, particularly taking the city of Jerusalem. And each time they attacked that city, they took more people with them from that nation to be exiled into Babylon and the surrounding regions. And ultimately, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And it was during the first of Babylon's attacks that Daniel, was kidnapped along with many other Jews and brought into Babylon. Scholars estimate that Daniel was 15 years old when he was taken, and he lived out the rest of his life in that nation. He was an extraordinary man who lived in this pagan community but continued to exalt God and lived with godly character and godly service. Wouldn't you love to be known for that? No matter what's going on around you, the God on the inside of you is what carries you through. And he became a royal official. He served as a confidant for the kings, and he was a prophet to two world empires. And all this time that Daniel lived in Babylon, they think it might have been about 80 years or so, he and all the Jewish exiles longed for their hometown, longed for their nation, longed for their temple, longed to get out of this pagan place that was just so confronting to what they personally believed. They just longed to get back to that place. And so here we find Daniel recorded in this account of his life in chapter 9, that as he reads the scriptures, he comes across this prophecy in Jeremiah that had foretold of the Babylonian attacks and the exiles of the Jews. And Daniel comes to understand that the period of time foretold for the desolation of Jerusalem was 70 years. And as he does the math, he realizes that since the first attack on Jerusalem, when he was taken, to the day that he was reading those scriptures, that the 70 years were almost over. That the 70 years of the desolation of his city were almost over. And he could read that the Babylonians were about to lose their power, that God was about to cause them to come crashing down, and all of the Jews that were scattered in Babylon and the surrounding regions were going to be gathered back in the city of Jerusalem, and that it was going to be rebuilt and it was going to be restored. In fact, God said he was going to restore the people, restore the city, restore the temple, restore their joy, and restore their worship. And Daniel realized that as God had promised, they were about to enter into a new season. They were about to go from a season of desolation and loss into a season of restoration and joy. But with this revelation, notice that Daniel didn't just type out the promise and post it on Instagram. He didn't just wait for it to come to pass, right? He didn't just tell all his mates at the palace and just said, God's got this, and then just wait and see. The scripture says that when Daniel discerned the new season, that he set his face towards God. He didn't just think, oh, this was just going to all happen and I'll just sit back and wait for it to come rolling across my path. He said, no, I know this is coming. I'm going to turn my face towards the Lord. Daniel knew something about navigating the seasons. He knew that the promise of a new season was not an invitation to sit back and to wait and to see what was going to happen. He knew that the promise of a new season required something of him. And what I want to suggest to you today is that the promise of a new season is an invitation for our participation. It's not an invitation to wait and see. It's an invitation for our participation with that promise, to add our faith to that promise, to give our prayers to that promise, to take the word and declare that promise. We have been invited to participate in the promise of the new season. And here is the reason why we need to participate in the shift of a new season. Because in every season, the kingdom of God in you is advancing. In every season, God is going to do something God ordained in you. We've already talked about that, right? And in every season, as you begin to take territory, where are you taking this territory from? Where are you taking this territory from? We know that when, if you read the account of the Israelites going to the promised land, when Joshua is on the edge of the Jordan and he's about to take the people across and God speaks to him about what's going to take place, God doesn't call it the promised land. Do you know what he calls it? He calls it the land of the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and all the otherites. He calls it the land of the enemy. See, the enemy had that land. The enemy had built strongholds in that land. Jericho was the most fortified city that was known in that time. That's the territory you're taking. When you step into a new season, when you step into the promised land, you're actually taking enemy territory. So when you step into a new season, you're actually taking something that has been stolen either from you or your family or God's people or God's house. You're taking something back that once belonged to God, that once belonged to God's people. So when you begin to take enemy territory, you'll begin to see the breakthrough. That's when you begin to see God move powerfully. That's when you begin to see signs and miracles and wonders. That's when you begin to see the outpouring of His Spirit. That's when you begin to see those incredible things to take place. You see, every fulfillment of God's promise is the taking of enemy territory. And when it comes to taking hold of what is promised by God, Jesus spoke this according to the book of Matthew. He said that from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. Wow. That's a crazy scripture, right? Talking about violence and things being taken by force, but it's an invitation again to participate in taking hold of the promise that God has for us. It's not something that you get to take hold of by sitting back and waiting and seeing, but it's something you get to take hold of when you choose to press forward into what God has called you into. When you choose to press forward to take the territory that God has for you, perhaps it will mean overcoming some fear. Perhaps it will mean breaking through those insecurities. Perhaps it will mean stepping out and do something new, whatever it might look like. Taking that territory requires us to press forward, but not to wait and see. You see, the invitation to participate with the promise of the new season is an invitation to be like Daniel, who even after decades of living in exile, still chose to live from a perspective of faith rather than having a perspective that is built on past experience. So often, right, we can have those past experiences that are not good. We can have those past experiences where we've stepped out and tried something, where we've pressed forward into something that God has had for us, or we've not seen the breakthrough, we've not had that answer to prayer, and we allow that to harden our hearts. But when we navigate the seasons of life, it is important that we maintain a soft heart. You see, hundreds of years before Daniel came on the scene and the Israelite nation were still encountering those different seasons that God was leading them into. We know about Moses leading them out of Egypt from slavery into the promise, into the wilderness for 40 years. And the wilderness season was tough. The people were living in the desert with the promised land just out of reach, and they couldn't go there. While God provided for them in that season, they lived with disappointment and they lived with doubt, and at times they were consumed with the bitterness of that situation. But the psalmist uses them as an example of what not to do with a difficult season. He says this, "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me." You see, though they journeyed through a difficult season, because of the bitterness and the hardness of their heart, they never got to step into the new season. They died in the wilderness. They didn't get to step into the new thing. They were like Pastor Shannon shared with you in his word last week. That word, harden your heart, it talks about being a stiff-necked people. Did you remember that? Pastor Shannon talked about that last week, being a stiff-necked people. It means that you're stubborn, that you're unyielding to the direction of God. The people were hardened in their hearts because they chose not to trust. They chose not to give their lives fully surrendered over to God. And their hearts had been hardened by the slavery that they had experienced. And see, this is what happens when we allow our hearts to be hardened by the past experiences we've been through, by the difficult seasons, by the hard times. In the parable of the sower, Jesus said this, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." The sower sows this seed in a field, and surrounding the field are these paths that are beaten hard. They're beaten hard by their constant use and their exposure to the elements. The paths are what the wayside is. That's what he's talking about when he says the seed falls on the wayside. He's talking about these paths that went round the edges of the fields. And those paths are like, represent hearts that have been hardened. Hearts that are like the Israelites have endured difficult seasons and they've become hard and bitter. And then even when the word of God is thrown on them, it doesn't take root. It has nowhere to take any ground, nowhere to put its roots down. And perhaps that's you today. Perhaps you've been through difficult times and hard seasons and people have left you down, let you down. Perhaps the church has let you down. And if it has, let me say to you right now that we're sorry that that has happened. Our hearts go out to you. We'd love to journey with you as you find healing and wholeness. But you've got to know that God has more for you than that. I've been there too, and I've sat in services with those cynical thoughts running through my head. I've had people pray for me and just felt like those words fell to the ground because I didn't want to receive it, or I've just avoided them altogether. And it was like nothing was said. Words were preached and prayers were prayed, but nothing took root in my heart because my heart was hard. I'd been disappointed. I'd been frustrated. I felt let down, and it was like nothing could take root in there. It was hard ground. But it was when I repented of my unbelief. It was when I said, "God, I'm sorry I haven't trusted you." When I finally allowed him to come in and start to trust him with my life and allow God in my heart, that things began to change, that things began to shift. You see, you can choose to allow the past experiences of your life to harden your heart. But you got to know today that you can't take a hardened heart into the new season with you. You can't still live behind those walls and think that you're going to be able to still step into the new season. God wants to do a work in you today, in your heart, to break down those walls, to heal those hurts, to release you from the pain of the past so that you can step freely into the new season that God has for you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.